Just a few weeks ago, I talked about Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and we're going to begin there again this morning, Romans 1 and 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Gospel is just the Bible word for good news. The good news of Jesus is the power of God to salvation, listen, for everyone who believes. This is real important. For everyone who believes. See, when we believe the good news that Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, he came and he died on the cross as the Lamb of God to pay the price for our sins. And then he rose from the dead for our justification. When we believe this good news, there's power. There's real power. Power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We should never discount or downplay the message of the gospel, that it is life-changing power for those who believe. It's not just, well, I got my ticket to heaven now. No, it's life-changing power. We're not living the same old life. There is a power in the gospel to transform our lives. Salvation is much more than just, well, someday I hope to go to heaven. Salvation is that we have been saved from that old sinful human condition, bound by our sins. He's forgiven us. He has cleansed us. He's made us new in him. He heals us. He makes us whole. I tell you, there's power in the gospel for everyone who believes. He tells us this about himself. I want you to understand who we're talking about this morning. The Lord is all powerful. He tells us this. He spoke it to Abraham when he was Abram in Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God." I love it when the Lord tells us who he is and what he's like and what his character is. And here he says very plainly, he says, "I am Almighty God." Almighty, that means all powerful. He declares it. I am all powerful. He has an endless supply. It is not limited in any way. You know, as I get a little older and a little older, it seems like I have a little less energy and a little less energy. You ever wish you had the energy of a four-year-old? You know what I'm saying? You just can't slow them down. But even they have a limited amount of energy. They need a nap time sometime. You know what I'm saying? People talk about our sun. Wow, so much power. Not to mention all the billions and billions and trillions of stars. But every one of them has a limited supply of energy, of power. But our God, he has no limit to his power. Some foolish people in their finite mind, they think that since God has given us power, that therefore his power has been reduced. That is ridiculous. We ask God for wisdom and he gives us wisdom. Does that mean that his wisdom is reduced in some way or lessened in some way? I want you to know this morning that our God absolutely has all power. He does not change. And he declares, "I am Almighty God." I want you to know that because you need to know what power is available when we believe. The good news, it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We need to hold fast to a life-changing gospel. There's too much weak, powerless Christianity today. It requires little faith, little power, and it fits in with the world way too easily. We don't need to fit in with the world. We need the power of God in our lives to help us live the life that He wants us to live each and every day. Life-changing power. It's available to everyone who believes. See, this attitude that, well, you know, Jesus will make your life a little better. That's this attitude. It may not be spoken that way a lot of the time, but that's just kind of the attitude behind so much of the religion in America today. Jesus will make your life a little better. I want to tell you, they're talking about a little Jesus. He's not a little Jesus. He's an almighty God. And He didn't come and die on the cross just to make our lives a little better. He came so that we could be changed, so we could be transformed, so we could live a new kind of life. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. You see, what you believe is so very important. This gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Yes, it is absolutely life-changing. He transforms lives. He still does miracles. Don't listen to the lies of religion in our day. He still heals and delivers and sets free. So many want to reduce the life-changing power of the gospel to nothing more than any other religion of the world. Ours is different. And I am telling you that preachers, Christians, so-called believers who teach that our God is not all-powerful anymore, who talk about Him as though He doesn't move and work in the lives of His people anymore, that is a false teaching. It is a deception. It is from the father of lies. Our God does not change. He is still Almighty God, and He still moves and works in people's lives when we believe. Now, sometimes you tell people, yes, God has really changed my life. He's transformed my life. And sometimes people, you know, they'll give you this, oh, that's nice. They don't really believe it. But we know. Amen. I mean, you tell somebody, well, I used to be an alcoholic, but not anymore. God delivered me. Oh, now, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And today, there are many that God has saved who said that they were a homosexual, but they're not anymore. Yes, God does that. There are lots of people who say, oh, no, it doesn't work that way. That can't happen. You don't know the power of my God. He can save, He can transform, He can change anybody's life. Here's what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There is a whole lot of deception going on. Do not be deceived. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous. Just letting that one soak for a minute. Because covetous is all the rage in America today. And there's a strong Christian version of it. Covetous. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. That's not who you are anymore. Don't let anybody tell you, well, that's what you'll always be. No, such were some of you. That's not who you are anymore. Why? Because of the life-changing power of God. The power of the gospel to salvation for everyone who believes. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, I just want to say this real clearly. Now, there may be some things that you still struggle with in your life. You're still fighting some battles. You're still dealing with some things. Well, you need to understand that He has the power to change you, to wash you, to sanctify you. That's what it says right here. That is the power of God working in the lives of those who believe. Power is available. We have to believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us in the last day that it's going to be terrible times, and it lists out a lot of things about the people of that time. But then it comes to this, and it says, there will be those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They got some kind of a form of religion, but they deny the power of God to transform, to change lives. We need to be aware of this great deception in the last days. They deny the power thereof, that you can't really change. You'll always be what you are. No, we know different. We know that our God transforms lives when people believe. See, a lot of people, they'll even talk about power, but they don't really believe that God will do anything in our lives. It's what I call chicken theology. The chickens gather in the barnyard every week for their service. And they get all excited and they flap their wings. The head rooster, he gets up there and he crows about how we're not just regular old chickens, we're different. We can fly like the eagles, he says. And they all get so excited and they run around the barnyard flapping their wings. And then when the service is over, they all walk home. They talk. But they still walk. And I want you to know, I'm talking about real power, real life change, that we're not the same anymore, that our God absolutely makes us a new creation in Christ, a new creature in Christ. But it is the power of God at work in those who believe. It takes God's power to really live the Christian life. We cannot do it on our own. It is not just human effort. It is by faith as we trust in Him. In fact, the day that you think you got it, you're going to fall. You got to know that we live trusting God, believing Him. It is by His grace that we stand. It is not us thinking anything of ourselves. It is not a cause for pride, but rather it is a cause for humility and eternal thanksgiving and praise to our Savior. It is His work in our life. When we believe, when we trust Him, it's not just try harder. That is the mantra of religion. You just need to try harder. That's works. That's old religion that always ends in failure. It's not just try harder. It's believe. It's believe God. It's His power at work in us. That's what really works, is the power of God. And that power is available to everyone who believes. Paul prays a really powerful prayer for the church of Ephesus. And I just want you to know that this prayer that he prayed for them is recorded in the scripture, not for their sake, but for ours. This is available to all of us. So I want to read Ephesians 1, 15 through 20. It says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." I want to tell you, we need our eyes, our understanding to be opened. We need to see some things that have
been hidden from a carnal mind. We need to understand these spiritual truths. Listen, he says, here's what he's talking about, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. There is an exceeding greatness of his power that's toward us who believe. It's who believe. It's not just for everybody that went to a church. It's not for everybody who said, well, I'm a Christian. It's to those who believe. Exceeding greatness of his power. You need to know this morning, there is an exceeding greatness of his power that's available to you if you believe. Yes, God. Awesome God, who created the universe, who can do absolutely anything. I want to tell you, he wants to work in our lives. It's as we believe. He says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's power. He said the same power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that's the power, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Wow. It's available, but it's not working in everybody. It works in us who believe. You know, there's two things that make a sailboat go. One of them is the wind. That's the power. You got to have the wind for a sailboat to go. Some of you thinking, oh, you stick a motor on it. Yeah, that's okay. I'll deal with that. And I just want you to understand, you see, we have to get the sails of our faith up. God has the power. He provides the power. But we got to get ourselves up for that power to really work in our life. Yeah, stick a motor on it. That's man's religion. Stick a motor on it. I'm just telling you, God has all the power, but the way that we receive that in our life is by believing. You know, we live in this society of skeptics and cynics, and rightfully so, because there's so much deception in our world, you know. Used to, people said, well, I believe it when I see it. Now you can't even believe it when you see it, because they can take a picture or video and just make it anything. And it looks real. You can't believe it when you see it. There's so much deception, and it's all around us all the time. And the enemy is always using this, listen, not only to deceive people, but to create this attitude of skepticism and cynicism, to not be able to believe. But there's something different about our God. He is in a class all by himself. There is a power for those who believe. He has all power. Don't answer out loud. It's rhetorical. Is there anything that he can't do? Yes. He can't lie. He can't lie. He can't lie. Hebrews 6:18 tells us it is impossible for God to lie. In Titus 1:2, it says, God who cannot lie. He can't lie. You know what that tells me? If he said it, you can stand on it. You can count on it. You don't have to wonder if it's true. He can't lie. This is the one. You see, everything and everybody else, you don't know for sure. But with him, it's a matter of character. We absolutely know that God cannot lie, that he will always keep his word. He will always do what he says that he will do. See, there is nothing too hard for the Lord, the Bible says, but he can't go against his own character and person. And that means every word that he has spoken is true, that we can absolutely believe we have his word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And I just want to say, before I go on from here, he says, you welcomed it as it is, the word of God. And I just want to say, you see, we need to realize how important the word of God is. My opinion is not important. The opinion of this preacher or this teacher is not important. What is important is the word of God. We hold fast to the word of God because that is the one thing that you can absolutely count on. There's so much false teaching and just pure baloney going on today in the body of Christ. We need to hold to the word of God. You know, the enemy, he is always getting somebody to pull a little phrase here or one verse here to disregard the rest of Scripture. We need to hold to the full counsel of the word of God. It is the word of truth. But I want to get to this. He says, which effectively works in you who believe. You see, the word doesn't work effectively in people that don't believe. It works effectively. Its power is really released when people believe. And it is full of promises and blessings and truths that we can build our lives on, that we can stand on. But it works effectively in those who believe. You see, we got to believe it. We got to really believe it. Not just talk it, but believe it to the point that it shows in our life, that there's action to it, that we're building our lives on these truths. We're standing on the promises. Miss that old song, standing on the promises. Yes, we're standing on them. When it looks like there's no way, we stand on those promises. We believe those promises no matter what happens. Our God cannot lie. Every word is true. Jesus said to the Father, your word is truth. Today, everybody's got their own version. Baloney. I'm just saying it like it is this morning. Lord, help me to say what you want me to and not what I want to. I believe I need to say this. There's a whole lot of people, their version of truth is baloney. Because there's only one real version of truth, it's his. If he says it's true, that makes it true. His word is truth. And here's what I'm saying to you. You see, if you're having a hard time believing, if you're struggling to really believe, here's what you need. The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is how you can know. If you read it in the book, God keeps his word. You can stand on it. You can live by it. You can know that it is absolutely true. But believing is the key to the power of God working in us. See, when we truly believe, when we have faith, his strength is greater than all of our weaknesses. Whatever battle we face, his power is more than enough. You see, whatever might be going on in our life, he is more than enough. Ephesians 3:20, Carmen and I have always claimed this as our verse. It's Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And you know, I hear the first part of that quoted a whole lot. We like to think about this God who can do far beyond what we can even imagine. But you'll notice he says, according to the power that works in us. And how does that power work in us? It works in those who believe. We gotta believe. What's your battle? What's your struggle this morning? He can do even more than you can possibly imagine. Maybe there's some areas where you're just stuck in a rut. Maybe there's a battle that you just feel like you can't win. Maybe you feel bound in some way. Maybe there's something that you've just given up on. Just imagine with our little finite mind, just imagine. What if it changed? What if it was like this? Our God can do more than that. More than you can even think up. More than you can imagine. There is no limit to what our God can do. But he works in our lives by faith when we believe. You know, people get mad at God and talk bad about God, why don't you do something about this? Why don't you do something about that? Did you know that he does not respond to need? Oh, I'm messing with you now. Some of you, you're thinking, now wait a minute. He does not respond to need. There are needs all over this world that God is not responding to. He responds to faith. He knows what we have need of before we even ask him. But we're supposed to ask. Now, I got to tell you, there are things that God takes care of in our life, more things that we could ever imagine. He takes care of in our life and other people's lives every day. He makes his sun to rise and the rain to fall on the good and the evil and the ungrateful. But there are things that God is not going to do if we don't believe. We got to pray and we got to ask. We got to believe God. That's when his power moves and works. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I think the wording here is really important. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He didn't just say, now you, this one man, this one father, who's come to Jesus on behalf of his child. He didn't say, if you can believe, well, it'll be done for you. No, he said, all things are possible for him, to him who believes. That includes you and me. Do we believe the words of Jesus? All things are possible to him who believes. There's not anything that our God can't do. We need to believe God to do things. And you know, part of what you get into here is, well, you know, I prayed about this and I was believing God. And by the way, there's some issues here about how much we're really believing God or we're just kind of wishing. But the people say, you know, I really believe in God. I'm there with you. I prayed about some things. And, you know, I'm trying to believe. But let me tell you something. I found over and over and over again that God doesn't always do what I tell him to because he's smarter than me. And he's got a better way. And so often he works it out. And get this, in his time. Anybody ever get frustrated with God's timing? But he knows what he's doing. And you see, so often, if God just instantly took care of this and took care of that, you know who ends up taking the credit? We do. But God is glorified when it looks like there's no way, and he does it his way. And I want to tell you that we just need to learn to believe him. All things are possible to him who believes. Those are the words of Jesus. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever the battle is, I'll tell you, you're not on your own. God's power is at work in you when you believe. I want to give you some real basics this morning. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Obviously, when he says believe, he's not talking about, you know, just with a mental assent. You know, even the demons believe and tremble. But he's talking about to truly put your faith and trust in him. But when you do that, then you are born of God. That's how you receive. Being born again is you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in him. And when you're born of God, you are not the same old person. This really is a life-changing gospel. Now, the world will say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. That's not in the Bible. That's a teaching of men. That goes right along with all roads lead to heaven. Like it doesn't matter that Jesus died on the cross. No, not everybody is a child of God. You got to be born again. Jesus says you must be born again. And in 1 John 5:4-5, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It's talking about you born again people. It says you overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, when we truly believe, the power of Christ causes us to overcome. So what do you need to overcome this morning? What barriers are holding you back? Are there some disappointments, some hurts from your past? Are there some fears and anxiety about your future? Are there some personal weaknesses, failures in your life right now? I want you to know this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's what he said, our faith. See, we got to believe. The power is available, but we got to believe. Every Christian ought to know Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk. It's talking about the way you live. We are living a new life. We don't live the same old way. We don't live just like everybody else. We are living a new life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we have been raised to live a new life. Even so, we should walk in the newness of life. Not the same old thing. Too many Christians live in too much of that same old life. Like the old guy. He's been driving the same clunker for 340 years. Preacher exaggeration, right? You see him go by in that old car. The paint is rusting. That vinyl top, that's how old it is, vinyl tops. Anybody remember those? The vinyl top is shredded. It's blowing off in the wind. The seats are all torn and messed up. It doesn't have any air conditioning. The power steering, it whines when he makes a turn. He goes by and there's this big cloud of blue smoke stinking up the world. And all of his friends, they're like, you need to go get you a new car. You can afford a new car. Why don't you go get you a new car? They keep on and on and on. And so finally, he does it. He takes a wad of cash from all that money that he saved from driving this old clunker for 340 years. And he goes and he buys him a brand new car off the showroom floor. It's so beautiful. It's got everything on it. It's got leather seats, navigation system, everything imaginable. He went all out. He drove it home. And he parked it in the garage. And now he drives the old one. He just bought it for the trip home. He tells everybody, oh, I got this new car. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But he's still driving the old one, stinking it up. You see, there's a lot of Christians. They've prayed. They believe that they're a Christian. But they're still living too much of the old life. They're not really living for God, not really living in all that God has for them. They're just, you know, well, I got my ticket to heaven. It's like they got born again just for the trip home. But they don't realize that God wants them to live in victory and power here and now in this life. It's not just for when we get to heaven. We shouldn't be still stinking it up. Come on, church. We're supposed to be living a different life. A new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone that is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, being born again isn't just about changing your eternal destination. It's about everything in your life being made new. Old habits gone. See, you might be thinking, well, no, they're alive and well. You need to hear this message this morning that by the power of God, if you'll believe, you have victory over those old habits, old self-defeating patterns. God can give you victory. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And it's not just because you try harder. It's because you believe God. It's because you're looking to Him. You're trusting in His power. You might be weak, but His power shows up in our lives when we're weak. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many, many years ago, this is actually even before my time, so we're going way back. There was a comedy act by George Burns and Gracie Allen, and in real life, Gracie Allen was a brilliant, intelligent businesswoman, but she always played the part of a naive, not too bright woman. And on one of the radio programs, Gracie becomes really upset because her new electric clock is not working. And she finally called a repairman to come out and fix it. And the repairman, he says, well, there's nothing wrong with this clock. It's just unplugged. You got to plug it in. And she said, well, I know it has to be plugged in, but I don't want to waste electricity, so I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is. That is about as bright as the Christian who says, you know, I know that God's got the power. And you know, when I get in a desperate situation, I mean, when my back's against the wall or when I really need something, I'll go to God. I'll plug it in. That's not how it works. That's fantasy. I'm talking about something real where we live by faith. That's what the Bible says. We live by faith. It is a lifestyle every day where we are trusting God, relying upon Him, believing Him, and His power is always at work in our life. There is power for those who believe. Power to live above fear. Power over all the power of the enemy. You got an enemy. Here's how you can overcome. You believe. You believe the word of God and what He says. There's power to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Power that whatever God gives you to do. Philippians 4:13, I quoted it a minute ago. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, whatever you need to do, He'll give you the power. Sometimes I think when you've dealt with something long enough, you just give up on victory. You think maybe it's too late. I mean, if it hasn't happened by now, and you just decide that it's your burden to bear, that's the time that you need to realize that the father of lies is telling you those things. That's the time that you need to realize, I need to stand on the word of God. God's word is always true. Doesn't matter what happens, you keep trusting, you keep believing Him, standing on His word, because there's power for those who believe. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to go ahead.